Thanks to the resourcefulness of two of our students, tonight's talk has been recorded. When we began the talk, for some strange reason, the recording machine was unable to perform. And no matter what we did, it still remained adamant, and there was nothing to do but to begin the class. And while we began, these two students managed to run upstairs and come down with a cassette recorder, which they very carefully inserted in front of me as I was talking, and it's really hardly noticeable that we had this confusion at the beginning. Very strangely, the subject for this Easter night group experience was divine manifestation. And without the recorder, we were in danger of not having a copy of this. And so I again thank these two students for divinely manifesting a cassette recorder to save the talk for us. The mysteries of divine manifestation offer us an opportunity and a challenge to glorify the Father on this earth. As we are awakened to soul and learn the techniques and fidelity to soul existence, we become aware of a great power of the soul to manifest the will of God. This divine manifestation really has nothing to do with human beings. It is a function of Christ in your soul manifesting the treasures of the kingdom of the Father. Each of us has been given this divine power, and we either attune to it by surrendering our mind to our soul, or we work in the world of manual labor or mental labor, trying to accomplish by mental might and physical power that which is impossible except to the pure heart, which is the living soul of man. But when we know that divine manifestation is a fact, that grace is ever flowing, that it is present, that we can be the living expression of that divine grace, then something gradually leads us to the capacity for opening the soul still wider and wider until we are in a state of oneness, a state of constant communion in which the undivided consciousness within becomes the divine manifestation that appears to lend enchantment and beauty and glory to our visible lives. There is no one here who does not have this power in his or her soul. Your soul is the avenue, and that is why our Easter seminar here in Monterey is a soul seminar. We are moving now into the highest realms of earth expression, and our fidelity to being a living soul is going to be the deciding factor in whether or not we express those divine qualities of the Father which transcend all mortal knowledge. If you will rest quietly now, you will discover that in the silence of your mind, you are opening the way to that eye which stands at the door. You are finding within yourself the new comforter, the new within. And it is this new within, on the other side of silence, that is now going to become the daily companion, the daily food, the daily expression of the lives of all who walk with God. Stand ye still and behold the power of the Father. Behold the invisible intelligence of God. Behold the power that is not in the hands of man. Behold the wisdom. Behold the joy. Behold the love. Behold the harmony. Behold your own self expressing itself from the infinite level of life in a substance so pure, so refined, so powerful that it can change your entire universe, that it can move mountains, that it can dissolve karma, that it can manufacture out of itself qualities so unique, so heavenly, so incredibly beautiful, that once we learn of their existence and feel the flow of them through our soul senses, nothing else will do. We are captives of the glory of God, and willingly we surrender to the light that shines within. Rest in that awareness. Rest in the knowledge that every divine quality is in the Christ of your being, waiting to express, waiting to manifest in your life through your soul. And you can measure the degree of your Christ awareness by the degree of divine manifestation of these qualities. As you take an inventory, you will see how near or far you are to the more simple forms of divine fruitage. They must flow first before the greater forms of divine fruitage can appear. The calls I receive indicate that many of us are barren because there is a lack of this and a lack of that, 1,000 different lacks. And each one shouts out loud that here is an individual who, though sincere, though dedicated, though seemingly committed, though willing to
surrender all, has not found the capacity to surrender the mortal sense of life, has not found the capacity to become sold, has not found the capacity to purify in the way directed by the Father. And so the qualities of manifestation are limited, sometimes quite severely. It's just like roadblocks. Income doesn't flow, health falters, energy decreases, a sense of being alive and joyous and expectant vanishes. We become barren. And when we try to discover why we are barren, without realizing that the only reason is the absence of Christ in our lives, then, without knowing this, we try so many different remedies. And they're all patch-up jobs that are temporary. The only remedy for a barren life, an inactive life, an unfulfilling life, turns out to be your identity. Now, to those who have already found the truth of Christ in a measure, we need not dwell upon the obvious. We can leap right across into that state of consciousness which knows that I am committed to Christ expression. And it is to that state of consciousness that we have been talking for some 6 classes now, and it is to that state of consciousness that I address the words of this class tonight. Those committed to Christ identity and no other. For you there is a message tonight, and it is for no other. It is a message of such vast importance that it can only be addressed and assimilated, received and understood by that individual who has said to him and herself, to live the life of Christ is my purpose upon this earth. For to that individual only is the supreme manifestation of divinity possible. We're going to just touch upon it for the moment to awaken our remembrance of a higher life, a higher form of divine expression, which we enjoyed before the beginning of the world. You'll find a growing recognition of yourself in some of these words. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. He that abideth in me. Now then, the abiding in me is the unwavering acceptance and conscious awareness and active performance in the name, in the identity of Christ. You do not abide in Christ by reciting words of the Bible or by thinking about Jesus or by discussing points of interpretation of the Bible. You abide in Christ by living out of your Christ center. As you know, it is not only not an easy task, it is one that few people on this earth pursue. To abide in your Christ center means not to move out of it and to divide your consciousness, and therefore not to move out of your Christ center is to abide in me. And when you are aware that fruitage of a divine nature is not flowing, you are being told by this lack of divine activity that you are without the substance of your own divine center, because you're not abiding there. You cannot weave the spider's web from within unless you have the within substance. And out of this abiding comes the Christ substance, which is the invisible substance that manifests as your health, your optimism, your general feeling of rightness and goodness and happiness and all that we feel of a special nature that never is concerned about the activities or negatives of the world. This is what the primitive stage of the Christ awareness manifesting. But if you wish to demonstrate the highest levels of manifestation, you must know that without the substance, you are merely spinning wheels. And now, what are we planning here in our human lives that can show us a divine substance? The job isn't a way. The home isn't a way. In fact, if we think of divine manifestation as just added things in our human life, we're missing it. Divine manifestation must be the manifestation of the eternal life, the manifestation of the transcending mortality, the manifestation of the hidden manna. Divine manifestation becomes the expression of transition, and all other minor forms of manifestation are merely signs pointing the way to the supreme moment, which Paul calls the last trump. Anybody knows that the only reason a television program is on the screen in front of them is because they've turned the dials on. They know when they turn the dial off, the picture vanishes. You have this divine dial. It's on or it's off. Divine manifestation flows when it's on, doesn't flow when it's off. And although that is an oversimplification of it, it still is a fairly accurate one. Living in the mind, your dial is off. Living in your soul, your dial is on. The world that you manifest now depends then on your abiding in your Christ identity. And if it takes 3 to 6 months to find out how to do that, those 3 to 6 months will determine the rest of your days in this form. If you're not concerned about doing that, then really the higher levels of the infinite way are going to move past you. and not take fruit in you, not take seed. I would like to feel now that I am speaking then to the Christ of your being, and that you are living out of that Christ, and we are in one Christ expression. Because we are going to move now into the understanding of the supreme divine manifestation. Day by day, you are transmuting through Christ into the new form, the new body. And this is called the white stone in the Bible, as everything else of major importance is given a mystical name. This transmutation of Christ's substance into your spiritual body, lifting you into the conscious awareness of it, is your daily bread. When the Master says, pray this way, give us our daily bread, he is speaking of the daily transmutation of divine Christ into substance that lives eternally, which you will eventually call and recognize and live in as your spiritual body. We are into the birth of Christ in you. We are into the holy birth. We are into that incredible conception called the Immaculate One. And it depends now totally upon your intensity of purpose, of mission, of fulfillment, of self-identity, in which all of your being is concentrated on being what you are, undiverted from what you are not. No one can tell you if you are ready to work more diligently in that direction to achieve the conception of your white stone, except your own inner heart. If you feel lukewarm, if you feel doubtful, if you feel unprepared, you are unprepared. If you feel, I must be prepared because this is my life mission, you are prepared. If you feel there's nothing in this universe that is capable of stopping me, you are prepared. If you feel that the voice of God is calling you directly to this experience of Immaculate Conception, you are prepared. At this point, most of the students in our work would have to say, I am not prepared. I am not ready. I need a few years to even begin to think in that direction. But there is every indication that many of us who have assembled have come for just that very purpose. We have been abiding. We have been faithful. We have been diligent. We have been eager. We have been obedient. We have been receptive. We have been humble. We are submitting our mortality in exchange for our immortality. It was Job who said, even in my flesh will I see him. course, a change of flesh was being announced in a subtle fashion. In his flesh did not mean his physical flesh, but his spiritual flesh. There was the seed of transformation expressed for those who had the inner ear. For even in our flesh shall we see him, but not this flesh. And that is the secret of transformation which we must carry with us in total understanding that we may cooperate with it. And so we look at some of the phrases that assure us this is correct, that a change can take place, that it is the Father's will that a change does take place, and then to learn the nature of that change in ways we had not anticipated. All flesh is not the same. Now, when that was said to us, it possibly made a very minor impression. But Paul was aware of the divine flesh that is achieved through the consecration to your identity as Christ. And he was permitting those few who could understand it to hear that the miracle of change that takes place in an individual who is dedicated to his Christ identity does something to the individual that is not commonly known. To be simple, when we look around, who do we see whose flesh has changed to Christ flesh? Has someone come up and said to you, I am the Christ flesh, the spiritual flesh, the divine flesh? We move through each day completely unaware that there are those among us who could do that if they were ordained to do that, if they were not totally restrained from any such communication with those who walk in mortal flesh. You may be prepared to fulfill such an encounter, if you have not already done so, without surprise, without amazement. Because you will discover that one day you too will be one of those who walks in divine flesh in a world unaware that you are different. Because you will look exactly the same as every other mortal on this earth. The only distinguishing qualities will be in your lack of fear, the way you are provided for by unseen hands, the way you are seeking nothing, because you have and you are, by your absence of dependency on others, by your simple assurance within you that you can give even what you don't have, visibly. And when you meet such a one, look carefully, because you may be looking at divine flesh. We are being transformed by the renewing of the mind into divine manifestation. And if you feel this possibility emerging in you, if you feel the activity of it, be assured this is ordained. The knowledge of it is not frightening. But if you come unprepared, unaware of what is happening, it could seem to you that something was possibly working upon you from an unseen source, and it could lead to all kinds of disturbances of the mind. That is why the manifestation is never sudden and is always gradual, and is always announced in advance to the individual. That is why an angel appeared to Mary. And in a sense, an angel appears to each of us as we are going through divine manifestation. Your angel may never be Gabriel, but your angel will be some divine communication saying that you are going through a changeover. Mary, Jesus, and the Spirit of God collaborated to instruct the human race about this special event. The soul of Mary, the Spirit of Mary, bring forth a visible Jesus. And this is all a divine expression on the human blackboard to show you in three different parts what takes place within your consciousness as you abide in the identity of Christ. Your abiding in Christ becomes a soul activity, and this is Mary. The impregnation of your soul by the Spirit is identical to Mary being impregnated by the Spirit of God. And the appearance of Jesus visibly is the appearance in your consciousness of the Christ body, which you do not see, brought into visibility to instruct us that when your soul opens to your Christ identity, the process brought into visibility by Mary with the birth of Jesus takes place within you, and it is the Immaculate Conception within your own being. Your soul is impregnated by your spirit because you are dwelling in Christ awareness, and through this the birth of Christ occurs within your consciousness. And you should know something about what that birth is. It may be that one day you receive a visitation in the invisible. And it may be that one day you are forewarned about the possibility of a change. And it may be that because of this you decide to take out a paper and a pencil and keep a diary about these changes. And each day, or each third or fourth day, you may notice changes, and you may write them down. And you may find that you are going through something totally unnatural to the human mind. And you are writing it down, because you know this is strange. And one day, you become aware that the writing stage is over. There's something else about to happen. There's going to be a change of consciousness, and a new consciousness will replace the old. It will be shocking. It will be sudden. Something new will fall into place and something out of place. It may make bearing a child look like a very simple procedure. It may be quite earth-shaking. And suddenly, you will not be there anymore, but I will. And I will speak as you. And I will say I, and I will not say you anymore. And when I speak as you, you are the living Christ. Then whenever you say I to anyone, it will be a new I you are saying. And you will walk the same earth, in the same body, to human eyes, but yet you will be in divine flesh. the transmutation will be established. And this is the living experience of the Immaculate Conception, which awaits all who are committed to Christ. And this is the white stone, the new body, that walks right out of this world and leaves behind it the appearance of a physical form. This is truly the Enoch experience, and it is the experience that Christ on the cross was demonstrating. The body that walks out of the world untouched while the physical body remains. One being the reality, the other being the image in the minds of men. This Immaculate Conception is the ultimate experience of our life on this earth. Look at it again now and see that Mary represents your soul, that the Spirit of Mary impregnates her soul, and that the visible Jesus represents the interior event in your consciousness as you are Christed, or Christ is born in you. Every time you see this visible Jesus, that is a sign of what will happen to you. Christ will be born in you. And then this Christ, this visible Jesus, will walk away and become invisible. Because truly, when it happens to you, the Christ in you is the invisible presence of that same Jesus who walked away. That is your new comforter, and it doeth all things. This event is your second birth, your rebirth, your resurrection experience. It's the kind of an experience that is not to be talked about to those who are not moving into the possibility of fulfilling that experience. And if you think of the days of Pentecost, when suddenly the disciples broke out in all forms of strange behavior and now had spiritual tongues, you can see that within them a new body had formed, something unsuspected by most readers of the Bible. And when it is said they spoke in tongues, please try to know that it is not as interpreted in the human religions that think in terms of speaking in tongues out of the physical mouth or the vocal cords. They spoke in tongues because they were now in spiritual bodies. This has been hidden purposely. And I suspect it may be one of the reasons that our little tape recorder was shut off, truly. You may not be able to play it for anybody, but you can hear it, you can listen, you can record it in your consciousness. Because this is what you're heading for, and you should know it. And I feel the fact that we are given the privilege of knowing that our Immaculate Conception is the ultimate manifestation of our lives, this is how we glorify God. We bring forth the divine image and likeness. And that is why Job says, "In the flesh shall I see him." Yes, he will bring forth the divine image and likeness of the new Job. We walk today as Lazarus in the tomb. When we come forth from the tomb, you are seeing a different version of the Immaculate Conception. You are seeing the Christ body emerge and the mortal body walk in, and the immortal body walk out. You will see the mortal body of you die as the immortal body of you is born, and no one will know but yourself. You will even find it difficult to realize. I hope it doesn't surprise you too much or make you feel you're living in a strange kind of teaching that is something you hadn't wanted or wished to reject, because if only one-tenth of us accepted this as the truth of our being, that one-tenth would be worth whatever we have done to get to this point. It is the very core of truth that all of the world is moving toward the Immaculate Conception. I think you'll find justification for these words as you look through your soul at certain other words that may be coming forth. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The psalmist knew something in that 17th psalm. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And if this is the sleep, and if the awakening is right here, he was talking about his transformation into the divine image and likeness, that other flesh which Paul said there is. Not all flesh is the same. Your life is hid with Christ. And what would that ever mean? Except that when you live in your Christhood, that your life emerges from the substance of Christ and is no longer hid under a bushel, but is made manifest. I'm waiting purposely for your own conscience to bring to remembrance things of your past experience that tell you that in some way you have been into certain phases of that changeover already. I don't think I could say these words to you if you hadn't. You have been going through a spiritual transformation, and it is going somewhere. You have been going through a spiritual rebirth. And although at the moment it may seem quite simple and smooth, you are being prepared for levels of it that are quite catastrophic. Unless you are aware of what is happening, then they are not frightening. Just think, if Mary had produced that baby, and had not been told that spirit was her father, was the father of that child, what would have happened to those who followed later, to whom the same thing happened, if they didn't know it had already happened in this world? But what would happen to us who are going through it inside ourselves, within our own being, and will not produce a physical child to show for it, but only the changeover in our own total selfhood? That is the real Immaculate Conception. And all of these outward signs are but signs along the way to show us that we are giving birth to our own immortal self. Literally. that's why these words in the Bible are so important. If you think for a moment that you're inventing an idea or you're hearing some strange noises that are unrelated to you, when you begin to accept the Bible and its various clues more seriously, and then to realize they are telling you what they dare not tell the world, then your inner ears open wide. Parables are stories on two levels. This is on a universal level. All flesh is not the same. There is immortal flesh and there is mortal flesh. And we are being anointed, slowly, daily transmuted in consciousness, and that substance which is doing the transmuting will emerge as immortal flesh. You see how you walk through death? How you make transition? You have to have a vehicle. You just can't walk off with nothing or into nothing. You have to have a vehicle, and that vehicle has to have a substance, and that substance is Christ, I am. That's why Christ is the bread of life, and the blood of life, and the flesh of life, and that blood, and that flesh, and that bread, the only food that your soul can transmute into divine flesh. And that is being born again. Your life is hid. And it's hidden your Christ identity. That's what Paul meant when he said your life is hid with Christ.